Hello, falafels. All of you falafel people out there doing your falafel thing, probably spending a late night tonight like I am trying to finish our trackside stuff. So if you don't know, which you would be sitting on a log if you followed any of the Free Art Friday Atlanta people, the Trackside Decatur show is on this Saturday, and if you're listening to this the day I put it out, that is 9/28. I will be on a camping trip with the Boy Scouts and will not be able to attend. I hope all of you take photos. I hope someone buys some things. I hope all of y'all enjoy it. I know that a lot of people have put a lot of hard work into their pieces, and I've seen some spectacular things. I am disappointed I won't see it. I will go by later next week and look at all the things that I have missed. So I will be spending my time with 10, 11, 12, and below boys screaming about great things. I am disappointed that Hyper Sam will not be there. Repeat, Hyper Sam is not going. Unless something drastic happens, it should be uneventful. This week's people that I interview for Free Art Friday is Maplanta, and you probably knew that already since you have downloaded this and pressed play, and it says Maplanta on there. Also, I believe that I was going to edit out the first part of it, but I love that Jake is talking about Marbits and his love of marshmallows. So give a listen. After you've listened, go to iTunes and rate this and comment and do all those things. I don't really know what it does. Nobody really does what I say anyway. So I hope you enjoy this.
If there's a place you gotta go, I'm the one you need to know. I'm the map. I'm the map, I'm the map. If there's a place you gotta get, I can get you there, I bet. I'm the map. I'm the map, 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 I'm the map.
Eat the peeps, then obviously the peeps will continue to stay moist. So like, I've had a hard time in this humid environment getting them to age well.
I thought you just opened them and left them open.
This is the craziest thing I've ever
heard. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I slice them open, I leave them in a cabinet, and you come back 3 months later, and you're like, these are still squishy because it's too moist of an environment.
You're trying to get, like, the sugar to turn hard?
Yeah, you're trying to turn a peep into something similar to a marbit.
I don't know what a marbit is.
A marbit. Marbits are what come in Lucky Charms.
That's what I was going to say, is that it's like a dehydrated.
Because because Lucky Charms, actually, their marshmallow bits are not true marshmallows, and so marbit is the correct, like, technical term for them.
Yeah, my wife bought bought the kids some marshmallow shooters.
Okay.
Yep. The PVC yep. pipe and whatever.
Yeah, and you compress it.
No,
and,
like, blow through. It's like a blow gun.
Oh, it's blow gun? Okay. I've seen the ones that are like, poop.
Yeah. And she bought the little pieces, and so I have them open. Because marshmallows are disgusting, unless they're marbits.
I guess I love them. I love marshmallows in all their varieties.
I like marshmallows. S'more form.
Yeah, s'more form, roasted form, burn form, liquid form.
Burn form is
ice cream form, coffee form. Marshmallow form of coffee. Form of Janice sugary tampon.
You're like Bubba with all your different varieties of marshmallows.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're here with Maplanta, which is a duo, if you did not know. And I think people probably did not know.
No, most people do not know.
And Ben, right? Yep. You're not afraid of real names.
Oh, real names. It's so horrible.
Too late now.
Yep. Yeah. You already spilled the beans.
Yeah. And the reason that people don't know is because Jake is the voice, I guess, the Twitter guy.
He's the public face of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
I'm the man behind the curtain.
Ben prefers the Oz type analogy to that. So like I'm the big flaming head that you see, and he's the weak little guy hanging behind that the dog pulls that the curtain on. Everything. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Or doesn't, as you would find out at the end of the movie. You know?
he's just a figurehead, I guess. And y'all both work together, or have worked together, and spend most of your time together. Like, this is your heterosexual life partner.
Ben is. Maybe not. Ben and I have known each other for a long time. I guess we met in 2006 in school.
Yeah.
And I actually only ever took one class with Ben. In the entire time we were in school together, we took one class together, and then just somehow I would work on something, and he would be like, "Oh, that's neat. I want to work on that too." And he would work on something, and I'd say, "That's stupid. We should work on my project. It's much cooler."
Yeah.
So.
Cool. And basically, Maplanda came out of the idea that the Free Art Friday bit, and you wanted to make something and put it out, and also use your enthusiasm for maps.
I guess it started off, I wanted to make something, and yeah. I had no idea what to make. So I guess when through my alternative Twitter handle, where I live that dual life, I made a good number of other things. So yeah. I think I made little Mario stars to start with.
Right. Which is how I met
you. Yep, that's how I met Neil.
I always liked your saw blades. I thought that was
pretty I made nice. Saw blades next. Those are pretty neat.
For the Mint Show.
Yep. I took these aluminum triangles and drilled like a million holes in them and I think I made two whales and a lobster.
Yeah, those were cool.
And those were sick, but they took forever because I think each one had like 100 drill holes in it. And yeah. I was just sitting there drilling. I'm like, I hate this.
Oh yeah.
So,
I figured you did it with lasers.
No, metal and lasers, not as good of friends as metal, as wooden lasers.
Okay.
And I think eventually, I guess Julianne actually came up with her idea before I did even.
Yeah.
I think she came up with it after like the second month. She's like, "Oh, I'm going to use tangrams to make animals."
Yeah.
I was like, "I hate you. It's so much better than my ideas."
She talked about that in the podcast. She said that the aluminum pieces that you were going to make something out of them. She was like, "Nope, I'm taking that. You got to figure out something."
Yeah, it was horrible. But eventually, I guess when we first got married, Julianne and I made her a really big print of the city of Paris, which is divided into 20 little neighborhoods or governmental districts. And so I made a big map, and I put all the names inside the shapes, and it hangs above our mantle right now. And she always loved it, and I just kind of love maps and kind of typography and cartography and how it all kind of mixes together. And that kind of bred this kind of idea. And eventually, when it hit me, it was like a sack of bricks. So
gotcha.
It just kind of started from there. And I guess, well, it was Streets Alive, actually. Yeah. So Matt Wilder, who is he was the vice president of the Freedom Park Conservancy. Now he's the president of the Freedom Park Conservancy. He definitely in his sleep, you know, he's like the old guy was sleeping in the park and he just came up behind him. But he talked to another friend of ours, Allie, at across the street Mexican restaurant.
Right.
And Allie was like, okay, they want to do something for Streets Alive. You know, who can they hook up with? And Ben and I had kind of been talking about this idea. We'd come up with it. And we were like, okay, we'd really like to do that. And so our real big like first day was we made about 300 map pieces for the five neighborhoods around Freedom Park.
Right.
And then it was like October 6th last year. So it's almost 1 year, you know. And we walked up and down the street and just put these pieces out. And there were some pieces of people who were like following behind us, picking up every piece we put down. No, it's horrible. I've talked with Matt a couple times since then. And he said that, you know, he saw people running by with like 15 pieces. And they came up to him and, at their booth. And they're like, "I need one more old Fourth Ward." And he's like, "You have five. Leave them for other people."
Yeah.
But it's actually really, it's really interesting. I've met a lot of people over the last year who actually picked up pieces from that. Ryan Melick, actually, before I even knew him, picked up a piece, and he's like, look what the wife brought home. And I was like, oh, you got one of my pieces. That's so great. You know, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw Kentu 4 on that day. Like, as we were putting him out, he was walking up and down the street putting stuff out. Oh, cool. And I just walked up to him and said, hey, Ken, here, this old Fourth Ward's for you, you know, because I know that's where he lives. And and so he's like, oh, that's great, you know, and it just made me feel kind of good because... you know, just kind of getting out there and kind of putting stuff out and just seeing people get it.
Yeah.
I think that response was really what kicked us into pushing forward, because it was a pretty big undertaking to make these pieces, and there was, you know...
You said 300?
Yeah. There was no precedence for it. Nobody's done anything like that. Yeah. We hadn't made anything of that capacity. And so to go out there to do it and then to get that positive response is kind of like, okay, we got something here. We can play with this. Yeah. We can do something with it. Because if nobody cared for them, if we had walked back down the street and we saw every single piece still hanging on the fence post and street sign and whatnot, then we would have stopped. We would have figured out something else.
Yeah. That would have sucked. But luckily, if you put something out for free, it's usually taken, no matter what it is.
Man, my free trash business is going to be great.
Yeah. Well, Chew Atlantis.
Yeah. That guy seems to be coming up everywhere. I see him all over the place.
He's very prolific. Movie theaters, parking lots, everywhere.
I find him on the underside of tables in my lab sometimes. This is ridiculous, you know?
Really? Wow.
Yeah. He's invasive.
I actually found a piece in my kid's room one time.
That's happened. That's creepy. That guy's creepy.
Yeah. Well.
Or girl. I don't know.
It. Yes, it's just a mouth.
It's just a mouth.
A disembodied mouth. So it's almost 1 year, and then y'all kind of went gangbusters with it. And how many neighborhoods do you have now? Like, how many have you made?
I guess there's a big difference between made and drawn.
Yeah.
So I think there are near 200. It's like 210 neighborhoods, Ben.
I think it's a little less than that.
Okay. But I think I've
there's okay. So there's over 200 neighborhoods in the city.
In the city. Way.
Okay.
And I've drawn maybe near like 100 to 130 or 40.
Yeah.
But we haven't produced anywhere near that number, like actually to put out.
I think our production's probably around 27. Okay. We've made about 27 neighborhoods.
It's interesting.
Some of the neighborhoods are very, very tiny too. So
it's true.
It would be hard. And are all of them the same scale? Like if you picked up one last year at Streets Alive and one this year,
it would fit perfectly together. That's the hope, is that we make them the same size every time and they always nest together.
That was one of the first things we had to do when we started doing this, is say, what's our scale, and design permanently at that scale. Because the last thing you want is if you find that it's a little off here, a little off there, and you have to start making changes, then somebody gets pieces and they don't fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea about breaking maps into neighborhoods, they have to be the puzzle. They have to fit together as the puzzle. So, yes, it should, if you have a piece that's a year old, it should still fit with everything we make today.
Cool.
It should be the exact same size.
Yeah, that's cool. That's stick-to-itiveness.
That's one of the big arguments we get into sometimes. I'm like, I want to make something at not the right scale, and Ben's like, it has to be the scale.
It has to fit.
No, that bothers me greatly, because it's like it takes away from the integrity to an extent if it doesn't follow that.
Now, when you going over the 20, like the 27 or 28 that y'all have done, have you just gone from like East Atlanta over, or are they all around?
No, it's all continuous. We never make a neighborhood unless we have a neighborhood that already touches
it. Fits it.
So we're not like building a hodgepodge puzzle. It's just expanding the puzzle.
Cool. Ben is the rules guy, I can tell.
He is, yes. Very much.
You need that.
I'm the free-flowy kind of guy. Yeah. He's the no, you know?
No, yeah. Everybody needs that.
That's right. That's right.
So that's my wife.
Aren't you lucky, Jake?
I said, I got an idea. No, we're not doing that. So, So every piece it fits in. That's really cool. And then you did Christmas ornaments of the highways.
Of the perimeter. Yeah. That was actually that probably took us more time to develop than our normal pieces did.
Yeah.
I can show you just hundreds of pictures. We kept trying to cut out what was it? The intersection of the downtown connector, so 20 and the 75-85 with like all these little holes and all these little roads, and it looked really amazing, and it took 15 minutes to cut one out.
Yeah.
And it just was not working. And then we decided to simplify it down to that to just a simple perimeter, and it's just kind of elegant. For festival season this year, we did two festivals, and we made some bigger scale pieces, and we made one really big perimeter. And at both festivals, a lot of people put their nose up at it. And finally, another artist came up that we know, and she said, you know, I've seen this twice now. It is the most beautiful thing that you guys have made. I want it. It's going home with me today. And I was like, thank you. You know, thank you for at least just seeing how good it is. Because I was like, I could throw the rest of this stuff away. That's the only thing that's the best.
Yeah.
So
it's an immediately recognizable thing if you know what it is. You see it and you go, oh yeah, clearly. But if you don't immediately realize that, then it just looks like some strange formation of lines.
Yeah.
Looks like a badly drawn heart.
So yeah, a lot of people would be like, what is this? And then you tell them, and there's like that aha moment. They're like, oh, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And
if someone's asking what it is, they're not from here.
That's right.
But we have a lot of Ferner! Locals that say that. They just, you just don't, you know,
mean, carpetbagger.
He took our gerbs.
Jake and I stare at maps all day, so we don't even like give a second thought to what it is. But yeah. if you're not consciously thinking about what the shape of the highways are, then you're not necessarily going to relate to that.
Yeah, I got you.
But I think we think it's a really good indication of what is Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, that's one of the funniest comments that I've heard from people. They say that's really what my neighborhood looks like.
Yeah,
and like it looks like a little turd with a leg on it. It's like, well, I don't make the lines. No, not me.
It's for voting.
That's right.
Is who maintains that road?
I think ours is the map that we got is a city published map that we've been drawing off of from 2006, and it's they call it the neighborhood planning unit and zip code map. Okay. I like that the zip codes are on there, so I can sit there and try to plot out, you know, what the shortest distance between zip codes is.
That was, you just nerded out.
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
So. Your first four, all of these pieces are have some kind of laser cutting involved in them.
No, what? This is all hand painted.
No,
preposterous.
It's hand cut.
You don't paint with lasers.
You can't paint with lasers.
Laser painting.
Have you not gone to the Stone Mountain?
Hey, there's a laser printer. There has to be a laser painter somewhere. But yes, they are all using lasers.
And then. When you create them, the lasers cut out the shape, and then you have stencils that you put on top of them for the names. And
the laser cuts out the stencil, too, because we're really lazy.
It's not lazy, it's efficient.
Efficient. Yeah. The laser cuts out the shape. It tells us, we draw a circle where the magnet is. It used to laser cut the logo, but we just migrated to stickers, because stickers make life so much cooler.
Yeah.
It's like you're in third grade, you get to open, we just got a new package of stickers in the mail, and I was like, ooh, stickers!
So now
the stickers go on the back. It's like an additional level of fun.
Gotcha.
Actually, and if you find a piece, if you ever find a piece that has more than one hole drilled in the back, you know it's the first piece we ever made like that.
Or it's an early run.
Yeah, because normally we make a piece with no hole, and we sit there and drill like maybe one or two holes to find that perfect central balancing point.
Oh, okay.
And then we draw it on every other piece after that.
Yeah,
so,
I guess if you don't want to put two magnets on it, you do have to find that perfect.
So nerd word, it's called the centroid. We like finding the centroid of every shape. And then it just perfectly balances off that one single magnet.
And it's upright. So if even in whatever the shape is.
Yeah, whatever the shape is, there's a point on every shape where it'll balance around one pivot point.
That's too much work to think about.
It's a lot of trial and error.
I'll tell you a secret of how I get magnets into mine.
How do you do that?
I put the magnet on a pair of wire cutters. And then I put the wire cutters on the piece. And then I hit it with a hammer.
Yeah, see, all of ours are countersunk in with an end mill.
Yeah, mine's countersunk too.
It's a little bit more brute force.
Yes, it makes a dent, and there's no glue necessary. Either, it's stuck in there.
Neil make fit.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that probably mine is a little bit more stress relieving than finding the centroid.
Rudimentary isn't worse, you know. Sometimes it's better.
Yes, bang it. That's how all my pieces get made. I never thought about actually countersinking them.
You know.
Yeah. If you have the technology.
We
have the technology.
It's our tech upbringing.
Yes. Yeah, that's my art upbringing. okay, so that's how you got started with the Map Atlanta stuff. About let's talk about the other shows that you've been involved in. And you said you went to a couple festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have your own booth, or did you partner up with somebody else?
We did. So, I guess our first festival this year was the Kirkwood Spring Fling.
Okay.
We have some friends. Actually, I mean, I live right near Kirkwood. We have a lot of friends who live in Kirkwood. And we actually had a friend who offered to pay for our booth. He was like, I really want to support you guys. I feel like you're not trying to sell or do anything. He's like I'm gonna put the down payment down. You just show up.
Cool.
Which was pretty cool. It was really kind of nice. And so we showed up and sold things. It was a good festival. We felt like we were in a bad spot. They put us down on the field.
Yeah.
And everybody else was up around this ring around the field.
Yeah.
And we still did pretty good business down on the field. So I felt good about that. But I think like I went and saw Chris Hammer. He was there.
Yeah.
And there were a few other good artists there.
Chris Hammer's Poopbird, right?
No, Urban Pop.
Urban Pop.
Urban Pop.
Hey, I get both of them.
It's Poopbird, you know. That's a good one too.
Yeah.
but we did pretty good there. And then we signed up for Artlantis, which was about a month later. And we did just as good as our Atlantis, so cool. we had a good time there. And actually, it was just a month ago, we did the Living Walls Night Market.
Okay.
And I actually thought that was the best. That was the best night we've ever done, because it was like 4 hours. It was really short, and we made as much in those 4 hours as we did in either of the full days at the other festivals.
Yeah.
Because it's like target demographic found.
Right. Right.
And honestly, at the other festivals, there were people who were like, oh, well, that's too expensive. I don't like that. Why? Yeah. That's not the right maps. Whereas like
the browsers.
Yeah. Whereas the people who were at Living Walls, I mean, there were moments where there were 30 or 40 people crowding around our booth. And I was like, I can't deal with this. This is too many people.
Too many people.
I start punching when people get near me. I have a 3-person limit, and after that, I start punching.
Yes. You're going to need to step back 20 to 60 feet, please.
Yes.
Yeah, I have that same problem.
What was that Dorito breath? I hate you.
Yes, I can. Are you European? Are you Italian? Get out of here. Are you going to do any more festivals? It sounds like they've been a success. But
they have been. It's a lot of work. I think right now we've kind of decided to put a slight hiatus on festivals. I mean, the winter is the slow season for that anyway.
Right.
And we're trying to work on our secret doomsday device.
Okay.
And then when we bring that out, of course, everyone will die. So
you don't have to worry about
that. That's right. I won't have to worry about festivals
now,
anymore.
Is the secret doomsday device going to be made out of wood and laser cut?
I actually think we're hoping for
it's gonna be brick and mortar,
or you know, I guess and any other number of kinds of things. We're trying to possibly change jump mediums a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe see if we can get into some printmaking.
Oh, cool.
Something like that. When we first started up, we tried really hard to find somebody who would help us screen print all of our pieces. They're all spray painted,
right?
And that comes with all the wonderful, disgusting parts of spray paint,
right?
Which means like every fourth piece leaks, and we throw it away, and we get really mad at it. It's not
precise. It's not conducive to making
producing
a bunch of them at once.
No, it leads to a great avenue for originality, but not for mass production.
Yeah.
So we
enjoy huffing it. It's probably pretty good for
you. Yeah, man. I don't actually have hair on the inside of my nose, you know?
That's the thing. The day after you've been spray painting for like 8 hours, you start sneezing out all wonderful colors.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's like Fruity Pebbles, you know?
I've painted some cars before, and it's the same situation. It's
like you painted them by blowing your nose after huffing spray paint?
I have blue boogers because my car is blue.
But yeah, we tried really hard to find somebody who would help us screen print, and it was really difficult. Almost everybody in town who screen prints had said, "I hate screen printing wood. I don't want to do that." And we weren't really willing to go away from wood.
Yeah,
I've done a lot of woodworking, and I really like working with wood. It's a wonderful medium. So we were kind of set on that, and they were like, "No wood."
Oh,
so we just went with spray paint, and it's been pretty good. I mean, I feel like we've done a lot of good work with spray paint.
But your stencils, you have to replace every so often.
Every so often. Yeah, they get, and you can only use them like twice in a row, and then you got to let the stencil rest. It's got a breathing period.
Yeah.
If you use it 3 times, that's when it puddles up and leaks in.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're like, you're like a dog or something.
What's
great
about screen printing is you can just go ahead and run and run. Why do they not like wood?
I don't know.
Who knows? Because they're set up for t-shirts.
It's true.
That's what it is.
It's true. T-shirts are like, you know, they're the poor man's screen printing.
Yeah. Yeah. That leads me to the, like, I've been talking to Aveda about mm-hmm. it, and I was like, everybody wants to do screenwriting. We need to do a class.
And it's true. No, yeah. I'd sign up. You can yes. you can have me. I'll be number two after Neil. You know?
Yeah. Well, I talked to Ken about it, Ken 24, mm-hmm. and he gave me great pointers about the whole thing, and I was like, yeah, I got to do this. This is right up my alley from being a printer long
oh,
ago.
No, I mean, I can tell lots of people that we know have backgrounds in graphic design. Yeah. And kind of like, I mean, listen, and Ken said in his podcast, is like, if you know how to do the things in Illustrator, the screen making should be super easy.
Yeah, but that's the part that all of us go, God, that looks complicated. What, you gotta time that? What?
You gotta put a chemical emulsion on on a piece of fabric and then let it expose?
That? I don't understand the washing.
It washes its hands. It washes its hands.
It's a lotion on
it. Oh, that's right. Push the lotion on its skin.
So you have something in the works for after spray painting and after the season, I guess. What you're saying.
I mean, I think we're gonna always gonna use spray paint. Right. I think spray paint is it makes me feel like a tagger. Like yeah. I actually even up until this, I always harbored dreams of being a street artist. Yeah. I've been keeping my tagging name secret, so nobody knows it. And at the place that I work, I tag the back of every crate that I make. Stinky sock will come again.
Yeah.
But the spray paint just kind of brings that avenue in, so yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's there's something to be said about a nice can of spray paint. It is kind of refreshing to kind of get a hold of,
mm-hmm.
and not and it doesn't like each brand is different, and then each can from the can is different.
God,
too.
I mean, we've been
it's
through
like, what is this nozzle? Where did this come from?
We've been through like 100 brands, and so we've kind of. I've picked up cans now that we still have that are half empty, and I'm like, you're going in the trash. I hate you, gloss blue. You're the worst. Yeah. Or there's a gloss green that
it's
we use.
It's the green.
It will never dry.
It doesn't dry.
No.
Yeah. It
doesn't. I mailed a girl a piece the other day, and she posted a Twitter picture. One, you know, the piece next to it was beautiful. The green, this old Fourth Ward was covered with paper, and she's like, I'm so happy they're here. I'm like, oh my God, it's covered in paper. It never dried. It's the worst.
Yeah. And she still stays tacky no matter what you do. Yeah,
I don't know
you
what
can
it
let
is.
Let it sit for like a month straight and
yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I've had some like that too.
And the terrible thing is we use them all on the Georgia peaches. We use that green. So.
Yeah. That's
we're stuck.
Yeah. So you use gloss mostly? Or
no, we've tried to move to almost all flats.
Yes.
Or flats or semis. I really tried to get away from, because gloss has this horrible dry time. It always wants to tack up. It actually puddles more than matte does. So if
it
we
doesn't
can,
dry even either.
Yeah. And so if we can move to, you know, when we're buying cans, I always try to go for semi or matte. Because clear coat is really easy to use. If you want it to be glossy, I love clear coat.
Yeah.
We use that by the bucket load.
Yeah.
And so it's a wonderful thing if, you know, you just make a piece and you clear coat it. You're like, okay, now you're glossy, you know?
Right.
The matte takes the corners of the stencil so much better.
Yes.
Like the glossy to get in those corners leads you to have it pool on the edges.
Yeah, you have to put too much into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like the matte also covers quicker, like evenly and quicker. Mm. And like to make something really glossy, what I've found is that you have to prime it a lot of times and then put the gloss on it to make it so that it's glossy throughout versus like if you see the wood grain or anything like that into it. The inside of the grain is not glossy and the outside is glossy and it just doesn't take it as well. So we're doing the 80s show. Probably this will come out the day before the 80s show.
Okay.
So what do you guys got in store?
It took us a while. It took me a while to figure out what to do. I mean, like the when we did the Star Wars show, I organized the show. I was really excited. Everybody was making really awesome pieces, and the only thing I could think of was circles with planet names written on them.
Because
I was like planets suck. You know, I mean, I understand that those are the maps of Star Wars world, but circles suck.
Yeah.
So I think right at the end we came up with the Cloud City and the Death Star, and then we did the Admiral Akbar. It's a map piece, which is
great.
Oh yeah, it's actually sitting on my mantle. It was one of the we made it, and I was like, I can't put this out.
No.
It's just it's too nice. And so I was kind of complaining to Clunky Robot the other day about, you know, I was half inebriated when I was complaining about it. I was like, I'm just so mad at that. There are no maps in the 80s cartoons. I mean, there's never an 80s cartoon that has a map in it. Yeah. Maybe accept a quick screenshot of a computer book with a map on it.
Right. I'm wrecking my brain to figure to try to think about one. But what did he say?
But Christian's like, well, why don't you just try some like location type stuff? And I was like, what do you mean, like Castle Grayskull and the Cat's Lair? He's like, those sound like good ideas. I was like, I hate you for being right.
Yeah.
So that's actually what we're sitting here plugging away at right before you got here is working on Castle Grayskull and the Cat's Lair. So
okay, yeah,
those
yeah,
are
yeah.
those are and so we're trying to do some layering effects, make that a little bit more than our standard flat flat map type object.
It in both of those shows, it always seemed like the bad guy place and the good guy place were just like a valley away. It's like why does it take so long to get to some, like, it never, the worlds didn't ever seem that big to me.
No, actually,
even as a child,
we're trying to find pictures of the Cat's Lair. I actually found a map of Third Earth, and it's like, I mean, it looks like it all exists within like a 3-block radius. I was like, my God, you go from snow peaks to deserts to an Egypt, and then over here to the Cat's Lair, and you guys are like, oh, we're right next door, and we hate that guy.
Yeah. Can't we just get along? Why is that guy so mad?
He's just old and crotchety and wrapped in bandages, you know?
I know. He could have gone with Quicksilver, too. The space one, whatever that was.
Silverhawks. That's my goodness.
I knew I was going to.
Did you even grow up in the 80s?
No. No, I skipped them.
He was like, I was born in 1980 at the age of 15. a fully formed man, ready to go.
I'm going to make you feel bad. I was born in 1973, so I grew up in the 70s.
That's
technically.
It's true. It means you actually cognitively remember the 80s. Like,
oh, yeah. I remember going to Star Wars in the theater.
I remember the afterthoughts of the 80s. Yeah. I was like, when was Thundercats on? Oh, that's right. Before I was born. But I saw every episode.
That's horrible. I remember being so super psyched for Empire Strikes Back. Mm. That was the one thing that defined my childhood was the Empire Strikes Back was coming out and the figures and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't born when that came out.
I know. I'm super old. So yes, maybe I had some mind-altering chemicals when I was watching Thundercats.
Who knows?
Did that make the show better or worse?
It made the same.
I say it was very poor writing, so it probably made it just the same. Yes,
I can ignore Snarf, so.
Snarf is my favorite character.
See, that's where it goes.
Snarf.
And Orko, I can ignore.
Oh, Orko.
And Prince whatever. He didn't turn his phone.
Yeah, I say Ben's being a rude man behind the curtain. That's how the dog finds you, you know.
That's how.
No, get away, little dog.
What do y'all have planned in the future? Are you gonna stick with Maplanta, or are you gonna make your own pieces like you did previously?
I think at this point
expand into Brick and Mortar.
Maplanta is really a never ending project. Yeah. You know, once Atlanta's finished, there's still thousands and thousands of other cities that could have the same treatment done to it.
Yeah.
I think that...
Map Chicago.
We like
Map-Cago.
Map-Adelphia.
Yeah.
Or Map Vegas would work, too.
Map York.
Yeah.
New Map York, even.
Yeah.
Not that old Map York.
There would be lots and lots of neighborhoods in New York.
It's true.
I think if you do that, you start narrowing down just the boroughs.
The boroughs, yes.
Yeah.
You would go crazy.
Although, I mean, I guess I've seen some good maps of just the island of Manhattan, and I look at it, I'm like, oh, they're all squares. It's so wonderful.
It is planned.
Squares are so easy.
You can do Savannah that way. It's very easy to do Savannah.
Map Vanna.
Yeah.
The pun's never ending. It's gonna keep going. But we've got that, and I guess I really enjoyed organizing art shows.
Yeah.
So I mean, we did the Star Wars show.
Yeah,
and actually, we have another art show coming up on the 25th of October. We're doing a Day of the Dead show.
Sweet.
So that's 1 week before the Day of the Dead. So that's like, that truly is a preview show.
Cool.
So that's coming up.
The 80s cartoon show is really the last weekend of September. So you're gonna do Day of the Dead as a preview show in the same fashion as you did with the Star Wars bit.
Yep.
And I was talking to Tangranimals about the Maker Faire that we did, mm-hmm. and how horribly hot it was.
It was so hot, and there were so many children.
Yes, and we don't think that it made any new makers.
Nope, it did not. Actually, what is it? When they emailed me this year, and they're like, what do we have to do to get you to come back? And I was like, you need to make it so that there are no children anywhere near me.
You just need a, it must be this high of a spray paint sign.
Yes.
Well, I also thought...
It wasn't just that. There were people that were a good 5 feet tall that needed to be
supervised
from the spray cans.
There were some 5-year-old kids who were better with spray cans than I have ever been. Like, there were some... I still have some photos on my phone of a kid who was using like 4 layers of texture and then the stencil and 3 or 4 colors. And I was like, kid, you're already a tagger. Quit now.
In your backyard that your parents don't know about.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The sad thing was last year, we had the booth and my dog was tied up maybe 10 feet to the left under the shade.
Yeah.
And Rocky got more attention than we did at the spray paint booth. So I thought that this year I should go back with a pet my dog booth.
Yeah.
And people say, what is this? And I'm like, you can pet my dog or you can leave the booth.
Yeah. There's a dollar jar and a pet my dog.
Yeah, say, you can pet the dog or you can put a dollar in the jar. There we can
so go. When they ask you what you're making, do you say a happy dog?
I'm making happy people. The dog, the dog's ambivalent.
Yeah. After a while, he's kind of unhappy about it. You're like, just keep petting. The more you pet him, it gets better.
He'll power through.
He's like, I've got an irritated spot here. Need some powder. Cool. So hopefully everybody will be up for the Day of the Dead. I know that I'm excited for it because I like dead things.
To some degree.
Well, I like lots of dead things. Anything y'all wanted to plug and where they can reach you?
I guess
where your shop is. And...
I think you can always check at maplana.com and see our holding page. It's quite wonderful.
Yes.
has been for about a year.
You have a shop to sell online?
We have an Etsy. Okay. I think if you just search Maplana on Etsy, that'll come up.
You got pieces up there now?
And there are some pieces up there right now. Super. I think just what we have in stock right now. And...
We're on Scout Mob.
We are on Scout Mob, so that we're up there too.
The neighborhood shopping bit.
Yep. And then, what else? We do some custom stuff. I guess we've tried to shy away from that recently because of how much time intensive it is.
Yeah.
But it is. It's always rewarding to do it. It's we made a custom Adair Park for a guy down there named Angel, who's really big into the belt line. I kind of did it as a housewarming gift.
Oh yeah,
he hung it on his porch, and that made me feel even better. I was like, oh man, you hung us on your porch. Thank you so much.
He's a really cool guy.
He actually is. He's the if you don't know who Angel is, I think his Twitter handle is another loud person.
Yeah.
And Angel is everyone in the city's best friend.
Yeah.
He would love to meet you and remember that you guys are best friends.
Yes. He puts up signs of like 3-foot pieces of mm-hmm. signs
of art.
Belt line and nails them to telephone
screws
poles.
Them to telephone poles.
Yeah, you're not getting those down.
He actually talked about how they had started by putting up squares. And they eventually realized that if they put up this 3-inch wide by like 4-foot tall strip, that it was impossible to rip off the telephone pole.
Right.
And so it like discouraged vandalism by being difficult.
Yeah. So yeah, it didn't give them any leverage to rip it off.
But we made that for Angel and hung it on his porch, and it just really kind of, it was rewarding for me to help him because he just gives so much to everybody in the city. I mean, just doing
it. He's a cool guy.
So.
Cool. All right. So that's it. Any last thoughts, Ben? Talkative?
No, I'm good. I think I said everything I wanted to say. Actually, I think I couldn't get any more words in because of Jake.
That's how you...
If there's a place you gotta go, I'm the one you need to know. I'm the map. I'm the map, I'm the map. If there's a place you gotta get, I can get you there, I bet. I'm the map. I'm the map, 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 I'm the map!
Nerds. There you have it. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to give y'all guys a little hint that probably after this show this weekend, a lot of people will be taking a couple of breaks. I will not. I have other podcasts set up, so you will see lots and lots of activity, hopefully. I have already recorded one other one that is coming out next week, and stay tuned for that, because next week will be epic. I hope you have a good night. Bye-bye.